find Revelation? It's very easy to find, right? Sometimes some of the other epistles, you're kind of flipping through. Is it Old or New Testament? Revelation is very easy. It's in the very end. You all have it? Revelation 22, verses 1 and 2. Let's read these verses. Okay. Go. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb in the middle of its street. And on this side and on that side of the river was the tree of life, producing 12 fruits, yielding its fruits each month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nation. So this is a very important description of the New Jerusalem. But now I'm going to have you turn back to chapter 21. And let's read the verses 1 and 2 in chapter 21. Okay, go. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and the sea is no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. Okay, first of all, one common misconception: is the New Jerusalem in heaven? Is it someplace that we're going to go to in heaven? No. How do we know? It's coming down. It's coming down, right? And then second of all, is it a physical city? No. How do we know? Because here it says it's prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. So very clearly, does God marry a city? It doesn't make sense. But throughout the whole Bible, what do we see? God is marrying a bride. And that is the church. That's what we covered yesterday, right? The church is also the bride of Christ. So first of all, we have to realize this is not a physical city, right? And then let's also read, those are all the verses we're going to read. Then what is the New Jerusalem, right? What is the New Jerusalem? Well, I think last night the brother shared with you the subject of the Bible. I wonder if you all got this. Was that the second time you heard that? Do you know the subject of the Bible? There's four persons: God, Satan, man, Christ. And what did God do? There's two important verbs. God planned and created. And then what did Satan do? Satan rebelled and damaged. Okay? And then man. Man fell and was lost. And then Christ? Christ redeemed and built. I hope you have this in your memory. I hope you just have this ingrained in you. I think all of you have to write book reports, right? In school? Right? You have to write book reports. Did you know you could write a book report on the Bible? Would any of you write a book report on the Bible? How many books in the Bible? 66. 39 in the Old Testament. And then how many? 27 in the New Testament. You could write a book report on the Bible just based on these four persons and these eight verbs. And that would explain the whole Bible. That would explain the whole Bible, right? I would challenge you, try this. Even in your head, how would you use all the different things that you read in the Bible? How would you apply it? But this explains the Bible. You know, when you're writing a book report or when you're writing a book, my kids are in school, they teach you, they help you with like a rubric. Yeah. Do you have this?
Yeah.
Yeah. What are the three parts of any kind of writing? Oh. If you're writing, what? First part. You need an introduction. And the second part. There's a body. And the third part? Conclusion. Every writing, Every book should have these parts. The Bible has these parts. The Bible clearly has an introduction. The Bible has a body. What is the body? Actually, this is the development. This is the development. Something is being developed through all the different books of the Bible. Even within the book, something is being developed. And then, what do you have to have at the end? Conclusion, right? Well, what's the conclusion in our Bible? It's the New Jerusalem. It's the conclusion of the Old Testament, the whole Bible. It's the conclusion of the whole Bible. It's also the conclusion of the New Testament. This is how the Bible ends. So we want to really see this. In the outline, I'm going to read some of the points. This is under Roman number 1. It says, first, the New Jerusalem is the crystallized product of God's work in the old creation throughout the generations. And then second, the New Jerusalem is the consummation of the entire divine revelation in the Bible. So I want to cover these parts. Consummation, that's a big word. What does it mean? It's the final product. It's something being made perfect. It's something that's being completed. So what does that imply? That implies that God has a work. He's doing something. The universe is not random. Our lives are not random. Actually, our being here this week is not random. It's part of God's work. God is ceaselessly operating. He's doing something. And then what is he doing? Actually, we like to see, I hope you see, what he's going to finish in is the New Jerusalem. And this is something, we are actually a part of this. We are a part of this. We are a part of the New Jerusalem. I'm going to draw a picture, a diagram. I think we saw this in some of the earlier lessons, right? You know, when we covered the New Jerusalem, actually, all the other, the key topics that we talked about, all of those things you're going to see in the New Jerusalem. Like the triune God, right? You covered that as one of the key topics. That's in the New Jerusalem. Salvation, that's in the New Jerusalem. Life, that's in the New Jerusalem. But you have to see it, right? Because it's not very clear. God, in giving us this presentation, he gave New Jerusalem as a sign. As a sign. It's an allegory. So that means what is a sign? It's a picture that has spiritual significance. So we have to see the picture. You have to study. You have to use your mind. But if you see it, actually, you can see many things in the Bible. So these three circles, what is a picture of? It is man, right? Man. And man has a spirit in his innermost being. And then in his outermost being, he has a body. And within, he has a soul, right? That night when we preached the gospel, I think we had 6 sisters stand up, and they prayed to receive the Lord. They just prayed after their brother, and then all of a sudden, everyone was so happy. Amen. Weren't you all happy? Amen. It seemed like it was just a small little thing, right? But so much happened at that point. Actually, they became members of the body of Christ. And actually now, their end, where they're going to end up, is actually here in the New Jerusalem. That's the end. That's the destination that God has for them. But that part of God, right? Here's God. He was outside. But now, his entering into us in our spirit, it happens very easily, almost instantaneously, even mysteriously, right? And that's because God made it so easy because he did all the work. He died on the cross. He became a man. He resurrected. All we have to do is open our heart. In the Bible, it also says our body will become renewed in an instant. In an instant. So even our body, how many of you are happy with your body? Anyone tired this morning? Yeah. With our new body, we won't be tired. Right? In our new body, we won't be tired. And actually, it says that man fell and was lost, right? So there's a lot. This is the thing about the flesh, and that's tied to our body. How many of you get irritated when you're tired or hungry, right? Yeah. You know, when people lose their temper, sometimes there's a reason for it. Actually, it's the flesh, but also it's tied to your body. If you're tired, if you're sleepy, right, and then someone bugs you, something ugly can come out, right? That's because our body needs to be renewed. But later, that's for later. Later in time, God will come, and in a twinkling of an eye, we'll be changed, right? Yet, until that happens, actually, our salvation involves mainly our soul. That's our person, right? Now, how many, I think you all are enjoying the summer school of truth, right? Amen. You're all being infused with God's word. I heard one young person was saying that, the showers are not so great and, you know, this or that. But the meetings are really good. He enjoyed the meetings. Oh, that's good to hear. During this time, you're just being infused with God's word, right? You may not realize you're being infused with God's word. And then when you go back home, it may be that your mom would say, okay, time to go to bed. And then you might feel, okay, mom. Or you might even within say, amen, mom. I don't think we say amen to our moms, right? But really, by you saying okay, you're saying amen to that sense, right? Probably, maybe in the first night, you might even do that, right? But I guarantee, probably by the second or third night, you're going to find it a little bit harder, right? You're going to be a little bit harder. And then there's things in our flesh that actually affect our soul. And we realize our soul, our person being changed, not that easy. Not that easy. It takes time. I really appreciated when our brother brought his child, right? 3-month-old Shiloh, right? 3-month-old. I have 4 kids. And so I got to see them grow, each one of them grow. And it really is precious. It really is precious. And, you know, looking at all of you, you know, you're, what, 10 to 13 years old, right? You know, 6-7 years from now, you're going to be in the other building, right? If we still have meetings here. And you will know a lot more. You'll be seniors going on to college. It's going to happen. You know, it's going to happen. Just time passes, and we all grow. We all grow. And you'll pick up a lot of things, and you'll develop humanly. You'll be somewhat different. You will not remain the same. And life should grow. Life should grow. Biologically, but also humanly, in our soul. With my kids, our first child, we didn't know much, but we would just feed him all the time. And every time he cries, we just feed him. You know what happens when you feed a newborn baby every time he cries? It gets very big. I look at some of the baby pictures, and I was like, who is that? I don't recognize him. His face just ballooned. I don't know how many of you have baby pictures like that. You can't recognize, right? And that's what happens when you feed. Our third child, actually, when in the first month when we brought her home for the hospital, she was actually sleeping through the night. So, yeah, she was sleeping through the night. I heard some explanations, so good. You catch on this, right? Newborn babies are not supposed to sleep through the night. They have to wake up every 2 hours to eat. Otherwise, you're in big trouble. The baby's in big trouble. But it's our third child, but I had forgotten. So, first we were like, oh, what a good baby. Sleeping so well. And then eventually, when we had the first doctor's visit, then they said, oh, no, you have to wake them up. If they're not eating, if they're not waking up, they're not crying, you have to wake them up. And I guess the problem with her is that she wasn't crying. She was a very good baby. So even when she was hungry, she wasn't crying, so she wasn't getting fed. And then eventually she had lost a lot of weight. So then we changed right away. So we just wake her up and we feed. We feed. You know, our eating is very important. We have to take care of this as we go back. There's lessons to learn. I want to point this lesson out. The dangers of not eating. The dangers of not taking care of our spiritual life. it's too easy to let this go. When we go back, we need to read the Bible. But I think many of you might go back, and you honestly will try, but then you might end up, it's just hard. And actually, it's dry. I don't have the same enjoyment that I had when I was at the camp. We need to contact God in His Word. It's not just doing the outward things. We need to feed on His Word. This is how we eat. We need to feed on His Word. I'm going to tie this to the New Jerusalem, okay? The first set of verses that we read, right, in chapter 22, there are four things. There is the throne. There is a river. There is a tree. And interesting, this tree is on this side and that side of the river. Not trees, but it's the tree. It's the tree of life. How can a tree be on two sides of a river? It's a vine tree. That's right. It's a vine tree. So it's a vine tree that is on this side of the river, on that side of the river. And there is also a street. So the Bible shows that these are the main components, right, in chapter 22 of the New Jerusalem. And this all, because I mentioned the New Jerusalem, we should all be a little New Jerusalem, right? As we're going back, this is the consummation. This is what God is building. This is what God wants to fulfill, but it's not something that's out there in the future. Actually, it's taking place every day in our life. Every day, God is working in us to accomplish the New Jerusalem. So we all have a part in this. We all have a part in this. And it's you can largely tie it to these four things, and there's more that Brother Joshua will share. But firstly, there is a throne. And I appreciated last night, you know, when the junior high school brothers, I think someone shared that at first they used to share because a serving one gave them candy. Oh, I was so touched by that, that a serving one would care so much for you to do that. But then even without the candy, some of you, I was looking. Oh, I was so happy. You know, there's a throne operating in you. Maybe I heard many of you were just baptized, maybe not even a month ago. But there, the throne of God is operating in you. And it's telling you something. It's telling, stand, stand. And I can see the battle. Oh, should I go? Should I not go? You know, when you're under the throne, we see that there's a river of water of life. So many of our songs talk about the river, right? The river. What is this river, right? It's a flowing out of God. God flows as a river. And we feel watered, we feel refreshed, we feel supplied. When you're under the throne, then you have to flow. If you go against what God is speaking within you, what happens? Actually, it seems that you feel dried up. It feels like, oh, I don't know how many of you had the feeling to share last night, but you didn't. I often have done that. So don't feel condemned, right? But even in that experience, God was operating in you. Even if you didn't obey, you had some kind of sense. This is life operating in you. This is God working towards gaining the New Jerusalem. So what should we do? Every time we have some sense within, we should just follow the throne. Say, amen, Lord. And then right away, we just feel refreshed by the river. And then also with the river comes the tree. And the tree will supply us. It would feed us. This flowing is actually not a small thing. This flowing is bringing God into us. This actually brings God into us. So every day we need to take care of this. So I hope as you go back, you will experience this all the time. I'm going to just read some things. What happens? This is some descriptions of death. What happens when we don't eat? Well, when we don't obey the feeling within? We can feel weakness. We can feel weak. We can feel empty. We can feel depressed, dark, even pained. We can be downhearted. downhearted. You know, sometimes even when we come to sing, you might feel this way at the beginning. You're like this. But whenever we turn our hearts and we come under the throne, we can have life. And what are the feelings of life? This is feeling making us feel strong, satisfied. We can feel lively, bright. We can feel good, and we feel at ease. You know, many times when we just obey that feeling within, we feel at ease. One example, I think a brother gave where he walked all the way back to his car to pick up some trash, right? Sometimes we just argue. We spend time arguing a lot, reasoning with that feeling. Eventually, when you obey, you feel released. Actually, you can feel tremendous joy. And that has to do with this river of water of life. Amen. So I'll stop here, and Brother Joshua will continue.
How many of you have read the book of Revelation? Raise your hand. Well, quite a few, a lot more than I thought. That's great. Revelation is the last book in the Bible, and it's a book of signs. In fact, it's written by Apostle John. In verse 1, he says, "The revelation is being known to us by signs." So there are many signs in that book. The last sign, the final sign in that book is the New Jerusalem. As Brother Sam shared, sign means it's a symbol. It's a symbol with spiritual significance. So there's a spiritual meaning to it. Spiritual meaning to it. We need to find out what that is today. Well, there are three biggest misunderstandings about New Jerusalem, which I had when I was in Christianity a long time ago. So remember this 3 points, that when some of your Christian friends that come up to you and tell you something about New Jerusalem, make sure they don't have this misunderstanding. Number one misunderstanding about New Jerusalem: it must be a place that we all go to. So we all die, we go to heaven, it's a place. Because it says a holy city. No. It's a what? It's a place? It's a person. So it's not a place we go to. It's a person we become. What kind of person God desires us to be? What kind of person we need to become? Second is what? It's not a place. So when some of your Christian friends come and say, you know, after I die, I'm going to heaven. I'll meet you in heaven. Why, have you heard that? Yeah. Right? In the, you know, when you see baseball players, when after he hit a home run, they look up to heaven. They say, oh, you know, my dad is looking down, feeling really proud of me. Well, the Bible says otherwise. Bible says what? I saw a new heaven and new earth. And New Jerusalem is what? Coming down out of heaven, which means New Jerusalem will be on new earth. Will be on new earth. Out of heaven will be on new earth. Because it says there's no more old creation, no more old earth. So it's a new earth. Third biggest misunderstanding about New Jerusalem is that, it must be something for the future. No. As Brother Sam shared, we can experience, and we must experience it today. Amen. These are the three biggest misunderstandings about New Jerusalem. At one time, when my daughter was young, don't tell my daughter that I shared this, okay? She said in her prayer, "Lord, I'm so glad that I'm going to New Jerusalem." Honey, we become New Jerusalem, okay? So these are the misunderstandings we have. Now, New Jerusalem has a structure. Remember this. There are three big structures that all of us need to know. Just three. But I'm only going to share two. If I have time, two. But if not, I'll just share only one point. New Jerusalem has three big parts. One is a base. Second, it's a wall. There's a wall. It's a city. There's a wall. Number three, it has gates, entrances. It's easy to remember, right? Three parts. What is that?
Face,
wall, and gates. So what did I say earlier? This is what? This is a sign, right? It has spiritual meaning, right? So we need to find out what this all means. Didn't I also say that we can experience this today? So we need to find out what, you know, how we can live a life. Let me tell you this. When I say this is something that we can experience today, that means we don't all of a sudden become New Jerusalem when we live a life that's different from New Jerusalem today. You know what I mean? In other words, in small things, we have to be faithful to the Lord, that we becoming, slowly becoming New Jerusalem. It's not like we live a life that, in a way that we just want to live as we please, and then all of a sudden we expect that, oh, you know, I'll be New Jerusalem. That's not the Lord's view. We can experience New Jerusalem today. So now, let's read one verse. Revelation 21, verse 12 and 18. All of you are smart enough to tell me the features related to the wall. There's a one feature related to the wall in verse 12. There's another feature related to the wall in verse 18. Tell me, who can read and find and tell me? In verse 12, it says the wall is? Is small and low? It says what? Great and high. Wow, it has a wall that's so great and high. Now, how about the other feature in verse 18? The building work of the wall is?
Jasper.
What's jasper? Brothers, what's your name?
Wallace.
What's jasper?
It's a precious stone.
It's a precious stone. Do you know what color that is?
I think it's like blue.
Blue or green? Orange is definitely not orange. It's green. It's what? Dark green. The color green in the Bible signifies God as life. God as life. So dark green means what? Oh, it's a full of life. Full of life. So what does that mean? You see a wall that's so great and high, it's jasper. Can you picture that right now? Can you picture that? Great high wall. You know, one time when I was in Korea about 20 years ago, I tutored somebody and I got a call. Can you come and tutor me? And I went to her house, and after talking to her parents, the wall was so great and high. It was almost like a four-story high. Turned out it was actually, she was a Samsung chairman's granddaughter. It was wow, that's a big house. As soon as I saw the house, a big wall, I felt like, man, I could never get in. Right? I could never climb up the wall. There's no way. Right? Let me ask you this. What are the functions of the wall? Who can tell me? What are the functions of the wall? You see a high, great and high wall. What are the functions of the wall? Huh? Protect. That's right. And what else? Huh? Enclosed, meaning separates. Is that right? Things outside of the wall and things inside the wall are clearly separated because of the what? Great and high wall. What if the wall was very small and low? Anybody can come in, right? Anybody can go out, easy. But if the wall is so great and high, oh, things are separated. What does that mean? What does that mean? That means we all of us need to be wall. All of us need to live a life of wall. All of us need to be separated. Oh, young people, before I came up here, oh, you know that all the serving ones, the parents really love you and treasure you. We have so much burden about this point. Separation. Separation. Let me ask you this. I'm sure none of you does this, but just in case. If we talk like our friends in the world who are Gentiles, like you, none of you swear, right, do you? But let's say we swear. We gossip. We use the same language, the vulgar language that they use. There is no separation in us. There's no separation in us. You know, there's a verse in the Bible which I really like. It says, out of the abundance of the heart, what? The mouth speaks. If you want to know what is occupying our heart, listen to your own voice. Listen to your own speaking. It tells you exactly what we are filled with. Whatever comes out of our mouth is actually what is in our heart. And that's why it's so important. How about our eyes? Are we looking at the same thing the Gentiles are just to look at? We have no problem looking at things, whatever it may be. When you go on the internet, is there any like voice within? Stop right there. Anything? How about our ears? People just criticize our friends and gossip, right? We love to just talk about others. Oh, you know, there's a saying, when two people travel, it's good. But when three people travel, there's always a problem. You know that? Because two people want to go against the other. The last one. There's a fallen human nature. Fallen human nature. You know, when our friends want to gossip and criticize someone outside, oh, we would love to join those, you know, criticizing someone else. Because we want to fit into the group. You know what I'm talking about? You want to fit into the group. You want to be cool. You want people, your friends, to think that you're one of them. Right? There's a peer pressure, we all know. I had that. So, yeah, we want to be known as a cool person. So we talk like them. We speak like them. In fact, the way we dress like them sometimes. So there's no separation. The worst thing that we can ever hear as Christians, listen to this. The worst thing that we can ever hear as Christians from our friends, oh, I didn't know that you're a Christian. That is the worst thing, that is the most humiliating thing that we can ever hear as Christians. Well, I didn't know that you go to church because you're like one of us. You talk like me. You speak like me. You dress like me. You gossip like me. You criticize like me. I don't see any difference. Oh, brothers and sisters, let me tell you this. Power comes from separation. Impact comes from separation. You know, sometimes, you know, I tell myself, Josh, not only the Lord is watching you, demons are watching you. Don't be ashamed. Don't be put to shame. You can't talk like that. Right? We can't talk like, right? How about the places we go to? There's a peer pressure. I know. The Halloween season comes. Right? Peer pressure. So, you know, I had fellowship with my daughter, you know, around the Halloween season. So, what should we do with this? So, just, we are a people separated unto God. So forget about what people say. She was like, amen. So I asked her, what happened? Dad, I was the only one who wasn't dressed up today. The school. Well, yeah, because look, that's normal. We don't go by their standard. We don't go by the standard they impose on us. We need to be faithful to our Lord that we love. Well, the structure of the New Jerusalem I want to talk about is gates. Listen to this, gates. You want to read a couple of verses? Read verse 12 and 13 of chapter 21. And also verse 21 as well. So, we're going to read three verses of chapter 21, verse 12 and 13, and verse 21. Okay, sisters read 12 and 13, and brothers read 21. How about sisters, go. Brothers, verse 21. Wow, it says like the gates are how many great? How many gates?
12.
So how many size?
Four
size. And so on each side, how many gates?
Three.
Oh, that's good. Very good. Right? So all four size. And the gates are what? Pearls. Have you seen a pearl that is that big? Oh, pearls are not that big. So what? Again, it's a sign. Sign. So let me ask you this. Who knows something about pearls? How are pearls? Yes, yes. What's your name, sister?
Megan.
Megan, stand up, please. Tell us how pearls are produced.
In the ocean.
In the ocean?
Oysters get, irritated because a grain of sand gets into their, part of their shells. And it irritates and irritates, and, the saliva comes out of the oyster, and it, goes with the grain of sand and
it
makes a pearl.
Yeah. Oh. Hey, which locality are you from?
Connecticut.
Whoever is serving from Connecticut, you must be doing a good job, brothers and sisters. So pearls are produced by what? Oysters. Oysters. Oysters, what happened? There's a grain of sand, right? Particle of sand. Keeps heating. Oyster. It's a wounding oyster. Then what happens? When the sand keeps heating and wounding it, then what? It secretes juice, life juice, life juice. This life juice, what? Turns that sand into a pearl. What does that mean? What does that mean? Sand made of dust. In Genesis, it says that we are created by what? Dust. This signifies us. But then it keeps what? Heating. We what? Persecuted, pierced the Lord's side. Is that right? When the Lord's side was pierced by us, sent, what happened? He released the divine life. And because of the divine life that we received, we are being transformed into pearls. So in other words, we are the gates. We are the gates. Whoever wants to come into the holy city must go through people. Must go through people. God wants to gain people, but he will do so through people. But what kind of people? What kind of people? Wounding the oyster signifies death of Christ. Secreting life juice signifies resurrection. In other words, people who have experienced death and resurrection of Christ are the entrance to the holy city. In other words, if we are those who love the Lord, we are entrance to the holy city. If not, we are hindrance to the holy city. We can be either entrance or we can be the hindrance. Are we those that are turning off people? Or are we those that introduce people to the Lord? What kind of people are we? You know, let me tell you what happened when I was in college. I just immigrated to the country. I broke my leg playing soccer. And, my leg was twisted. I had, 8-hour surgery. And it was really bad. I had no parents. I had no money. I was all by myself. I was very young in the Lord. I just came into the church life. And I got very discouraged. So I was thinking about leaving the church life. Maybe I should leave the church life. Maybe I don't belong here. Right? I had a hard time adapting to the country, culture, and everything. And some brothers, I know they didn't mean that, but they were like, you know, because I couldn't really wash my leg because I couldn't reach. And I had a cast on for 2 months. It started smelling a little bit. So some say, oh, you smell, just get away from me. Oh, my heart was broken. My heart was really broken. I was like, oh, I just came into church life. I don't know what to do. I have no parents here. I have no money here. Maybe I should leave the church life. Then one day, a brother, he's not in Georgia. Brother came. He didn't say a word. He got like hot water in a bowl and started washing my leg. Started washing my leg. He didn't say anything. Just washing my leg. And then he put a lotion on it. And he just left. That kept me in the church life. It wasn't a message. Although I appreciate every message. It wasn't a high truth that kept me. It was a small gesture of love that kept me in the church life. Well, because of that brother, he probably didn't realize my family is in the church life. Some people have come through the church life, through our family. So I'm thinking one day, he didn't realize, when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, maybe the Lord will point me and my family and my friends, right, who have come into church life because of him. Because of that, all these people have come in. All these people have come in. I'm sure he probably still doesn't realize. I never told him. So what does that mean? We could be either hindrance or entrance. If we are those who love the Lord, we could be entrance. Bringing people into the Lord. We should never hear something like this. I stopped going to the meeting because of that brother. Or because of that sister. He was just a stumbling block to me. Rather, we should hear something like, you know, I was on the edge of the church life. But their brother texted me. Are you okay? And, you know, small things like that. You know, some of our friends stop coming to the meeting. We may think, that's the way it is. Or we could say, simple text. Are you okay? I remember you. Believe me, everybody wants to be loved. Oh, believe me. Oh, you agree, brother? Everybody, deep within, whether you believe it or not, everybody deep within wants to be loved, and everybody wants to be cared for. And it will touch people. So our prayer is what? May we become entrance to the holy city. Amen. May we become a great high wall. Amen. We will be separated unto God. We'll keep things that do not belong to the Lord out of the church life, right? By consecrating ourselves to the Lord. You know what? Some of you may think this. You know, I'm having a great time now, but once I go down, oh, I may be the same. I may fail again. I have two verses for you. These are the verses that I tell myself all the time. All the time. One is Proverbs 24. I know where it is, but I forget. Proverbs, let's find it. Proverbs 24, maybe 16, yeah. Proverbs 24, verse 16. And I tell myself all the time, and we should remind each other of this verse. It says what? Righteous man falls 7 times and rises up again. It doesn't mean that literally you only fall seven times. Seven times means you fall again and again and again. But it says what? Rises up again. There's another verse that I like. A similar verse. Micah 7:8. Micah 7:8. You know, when we fall, the enemy, who is the accuser of the brothers, his job is accusing us day and night. Oh, yeah, I knew you will fall. I knew you were singing loud. But I knew you will go back to YouTube. You'll listen to songs. I knew that. The accuser, right? Try to keep our mouth shut. Is that right? Oh, he does that. What a terrible job that he has. Micah 7:8, it says what? Do not rejoice against me, O my enemy. When I fall, I will rise up. I'll leave these verses with you, brothers and sisters. You know, when we fall, remember this, we rise up again. Amen. By coming to the Lord and applying His blood. Amen. Revelation 12 shows us that overcomers are not those who never sin. In fact, those overcomers are those that fall, but always apply the blood of the Lamb. Always apply the blood of the Lamb. Don't be ashamed to apply the blood of the Lamb. Don't ever hesitate to apply the blood of the Lamb. Okay? Amen.
So how about we can have some sharing now?